Our passage in Malachi at the end of chapter 2, beginning of chapter 3, is hopefully about the refiner. The refiner is promised in the light of the wearisome words of the Israelites, calling into question God's justice. Remember, Prophet Malachi serves at the time when the Israelites have returned from Babylon, from their exile. They've settled back in the land, but things haven't quite gone as they anticipated, as they thought God had promised. Things are still a struggle. They're still under the heel of the Persian Empire, their Persian overlords. There are still nations around them that oppose them and are hostile to them. And really, I think what they're asking in this question is why hasn't God judged our enemies? It seems that these Persian overlords, these surrounding enemies, they're having life easy. God must be pleased with them. Where is the God of justice? Why hasn't he intervened against our enemies? And it's in the light of that wearisome words of the Israelites that God makes this promise of the refiner. So let's explore what we discover. First of all then, who the refiner is. And he's one whose way is prepared. At the beginning of chapter 3 then, verse 1, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way. God will send his messenger to get things ready for this refiner. And we saw in Matthew 11 that this is referred to by the Lord Jesus as a reference to John the Baptist. Matthew 11 verse 9, what did you go out to see in the desert? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. It's a reference to John the Baptist coming to prepare the way for this important refiner who was going to follow John the Baptist. And so the messenger, the prophet of God, yes, as Jesus says, he was a prophet, but more than a prophet. All the prophets are messengers, but he was the prophet given the particular task of preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus immediately after the ministry of John the Baptist. So he's the one who had his way prepared for him. But then notice regarding this refiner. Malachi says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Well, who's the me who's speaking? Well, at the end of that verse, says the Lord Almighty. So the one who is coming, he will prepare the way before me, says the Lord Almighty. It's the Lord who is coming. And then suddenly the Lord whom you are seeking will come to his temple. Well, whose temple is it? It's God's temple. So the Lord whom they are seeking is the Lord Almighty coming to his temple. He's the Lord that they are seeking, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, the one they're longing for. Well, who was that? It was the Messiah. That's the one that they were desiring, they were seeking, that the Messiah would come, God's sent one, the one long promised. They were longing for his appearing, to put things right. Well, he's coming, God promises. But notice he is a divine person. He will prepare, the messenger will prepare the way before me. He's the Lord coming to his temple. He's this promised one. It's the divine Messiah. The divinity of the Lord Jesus is explained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. And it's set for us clear that we're to understand that he is the divine Messiah. God himself coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. This is the one that is promised. The divine Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the Messiah is, the one who has his way prepared, by this special messenger, the one who is the divine promised one, whom they long awaited. But then notice what the refiner does. And it's intense, severe purging and cleansing. Yes, you're looking, you're seeking his coming, you're desiring that he comes, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. A refiner's fire, as we were saying to the children, that's an intense heat, an intense fire that will burn away all impurities. Launderer's soap. Now, that's not some nice, fragrant washing up powder like Daz or something. It's more like caustic soda. I've got a bag of soda crystals here, which are a laundry aid. Let me read what it says on the back of the packet, the big exclamation mark. Causes serious eye irritation. Keep out of reach of children. Wash hands thoroughly after handling. Wear protective gloves, protective clothing, eye protection, face protection. That's the sort of soap that's being spoken of here. Caustic. It's going to burn out any dirt from your clothes. Here is intense, severe cleansing, purging, purifying. Something that won't be pleasant. And so what did John the Baptist say as he prepared the way for the Lord Jesus? Here are words in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, there's that purging and purifying and cleansing. So it's this intense cleansing. But then notice in the next verse, verse 3, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This here is now careful refining. Notice the posture of the refiner. He will sit. Well, that means that he's going to give his attention to this process. He's not going to put the pot in the fire and then go off and do something else over here and then do another job there. No, he's going to sit down and watch this process. He's going to give his attention to this process. He's going to concentrate on this process. Not going to be doing a dozen other things. This is going to occupy him because it's important to him. He's going to give his full attention to this refining process. He sits to give his full attention, but also he sits because this isn't something that happens in an instant. This is something you have to sit down and be patient with. It's not like putting something in the microwave and it's done in 5 seconds. This is something that takes time. And so the refiner sits down because he's got to. There's going to be patient endurance for this process of refining. And so the posture of the refiner tells us that he's going to sit to give his attention to it. It's going to occupy him fully. And he's going to be patient with this process and see it through to the end. That's his posture. It's also careful refining because of the purpose of it. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. You remember earlier in chapters 1 and chapter 2, we had these priests bringing, accepting from the Israelites faulty sacrifices, substandard animals for sacrifices that were blemished and lame. And the priests were acting on behalf of the people. They were accepting these offerings from the people because the people weren't bothered. And the Levites weren't bothered, the priests weren't bothered. But here, the refiner is going to have a priesthood that is refined, purified, purged, that will therefore bring offerings that are acceptable, pleasing to God. And that's important because here they're going to draw near to God. That's why the Levites need to be purged. They're coming into God's presence. All that is defiling, all that spoils needs to be removed from them as they come to God's presence. They're to offer acceptable sacrifices. But of course, the Lord Jesus did this, first of all, historically when he came. We might say that the Lord Jesus burned up all the accumulated dross of Judaism with his teaching, with his burning denunciations of them. Remember the fire of refinement that comes out of his mouth in Matthew 23, for instance. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, and you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former, you blind guides. You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. They are refining words, burning up the accumulated dross of their hypocrisy, pretending to be one thing, whereas in fact they were the very opposite. And the Lord Jesus, in establishing his church, refined a priesthood to himself that would offer acceptable sacrifices. In establishing the church, the Lord Jesus was accomplishing this purpose. And so that's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So it's as we come to the Lord Jesus that we are dressed in his righteousness, as we were thinking previously. And our guilt and defilement is taken from us. It's accredited to him and his righteousness. We're clothed in his purity so that we can come into God's presence. We know that we're accepted in the beloved. And our sacrifices, our offerings of praise and worship and service are acceptable to him. So the Lord Jesus came to refine the accumulated dross of Judaism and establish his new priesthood to offer acceptable service, the Church of Jesus Christ, the people of God. But Jesus will also do this personally. He'll do it to each of us who claim to be his people. What does our hymn say? When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. See, the Lord Jesus is intent on refining us. As that refiner sat down to get on with that process, he gave his full attention to it. The Lord Jesus is intent on refining us, of burning off all that dross that has accumulated in our lives that we brought into our Christian walk. The Lord Jesus is intent on refining us, and he will patiently persevere in refining us. He'll see it through until the job is done. He's not going to get up and go. He's going to sit there and accomplish the work. And so we need to reckon with that. The Lord Jesus is intent on purifying us, purging us. And that may be a painful process. Refine us fire, launder us soap, caustic soda. There are things that need to be burned out of our lives, defilements that need to be exposed to the light and then removed by his grace and power. See, we are invited to come to Jesus as we are, but Jesus will not leave us as we are. He takes us as we are with all our defilements. You think of that bit of rock with a bit of silver that's in it. There's a lot of rock there. There's a lot of worthless dirt. But we come as we are. But then Jesus won't leave us as we are. He'll put us into the crucible to purify us. We're precious to him. And he wants that pure silver. And so the Lord Jesus will do this personally to each of his people. To burn out that dross. To make us pure and holy. So what the refiner does, he purifies, he refines, he cleanses. But then we have 30 samples of dross. I think that's how this passage closes, with some samples of the dross, verse 5. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, that's those who lie to others, against those who defraud labours of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Notice first of all in this verse that the Israelites, they wanted God to come near for judgment. Where is the God of justice, they said? Why doesn't God come near and judge our enemies? What does God say? I will come near to you for judgment. Yeah, you want me to come in judgment for your enemies, but I'm going to come near and you will be included in that judgment. Remember again what Peter says regarding God's judgment. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. If it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? But it begins with the family of God. I will come near to you for judgment. And the things that are listed here by Malachi are things that God's law expressly forbids. Each of these things is expressly forbidden in God's law earlier in Scripture. So here are things that are flagrant disobedience to God's law. The dross, you see, is the dross of disobedience, the dross of non-conformity to God's law. See, there is such dross in our lives. None of us as yet conform perfectly to God's law. We don't. And God's law will come to expose that to us. That's why we've got to understand what God's law is and understand its spiritual application to us. God's law will expose our lack of conformity, show us what needs to be burned out, purified and purged and cleansed from our lives. We're not to think that we've arrived. The refiner is still sitting over you in the crucible. Your dross to consume, your gold to refine. And the standard of that purity, you see, is God's word, God's law. That's the standard of purity. I don't think my ring is it 24 carat? I don't think it's a 24 carat ring. That's the standard. It is God's law, not our laws, not our rules. That was what the Pharisees and teachers of the law were doing. They were making their rules. It's God's law that's the standard that God is aiming at in his process. So the sample that he gives of the dross is lack of conformity to God's law, disobedience to God's revealed will. And the Lord Jesus won't stand for that. He will deal with that in your life. until you begin to reflect his character in all its glory and beauty and holiness. Let me conclude with some words of Spurgeon. He says, "If any of you, my hearers, are seeking the Lord at this time, I want you to understand what it means. You are seeking a fire which will test you and consume much which has been dear to you." If you're seeking the Lord at the moment, he says, you are seeking a fire which will test you, prove you, and consume much which has been dear to you. Are you ready for that? You say, "Oh, well, I seek the Lord." Well, do you really seek his purifying, cleansing, refining work in your life today? Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to have those things burned out of your life that are an offence to him, that don't conform to his will and word? Because the Lord Jesus will come as a refiner's fire. Have you ever thought that as a description of Jesus? Refiner's fire. Because he will have a pure people, a holy people for himself. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that we've glimpsed again something of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an area that we don't often think of. But help us, Lord, to be serious about this, because you are serious about it. Lord, you will have a holy people. Lord, so please continue your work of refining in our lives, we pray. Burn up the dross, we ask, and purify the gold for your glory and honour. Amen. We're going to sing 814 as we close. Purify my heart.